Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. All right. Well, thank you for that, Brother Douglas. It's good to be here, and what a joy. As you can say, my voice is a little bit rough here, a bit under the weather. Got the flu that was going around last week, and so it's just hanging on, but we'll have a good time together. The truth is, today I have the privilege of being with you for the next couple days, and I'll spend here today. I just want to talk with you a little bit. Actually, I would just want to encourage your heart, and I hope to be a blessing. I'll preach at you a little bit tomorrow, and but God is just so good. The girls and their song really summed up the message that I wanted to preach to you here. The truth is, I just want to come and tell you how much God loves you. And I know you've heard it. You tell other people that. But you know the challenges you face as a college student, young adult, the early years of your adulthood. The Bible teaches us it's common to man what you're facing, what you're dealing with. And after now, I pastor the church that I was saved in as a teenage boy. After Bible college, I went back. I worked for my pastor for just shy of 7 years. And then the unheard of, I was not planning. I had no desire to pastor. Not that I refused, but I did not believe God would want me to pastor. I didn't think I was pastor material. I loved working with young people. And after our pastor resigned, God did a work in my heart, and 26 years ago, the church called me to become the next pastor. And God has now, for coming up on 39 years of being his son, has loved on me. Often I'm asked, and I just mentioned to Brother Cowling a moment ago, and he asked how we were doing. I said, far better than I deserve. And I find that one of the greatest struggles that people have, and a foundational truth you need to get, is understanding the commitment that the great God of heaven has to you. When we talk about the love of God, we're not talking about some feeling he has towards you. It's so much more than that. It's not talking about, he went to the cross, and of course we can't even understand the depth of that. But the truth is that God has given everything. You are his world. We'll see as we look, and take your Bibles with me and turn to Romans chapter 5. It's where we'll begin. I don't have much of an outline. I have a few scripture verses, a few thoughts I want to share with you, and I just hope and pray that as you leave today after this service, you leave with a deeper sense of the love of God in your own soul. I believe the greatest spiritual stability that we can have is understanding the commitment and the security we have in our relationship with the great God of heaven. It's not wishy-washy. And the enemy loves to use, you see, God's not man. And the enemy loves to use human failure in our life to cause us to question and doubt God's relationship to us. And I'll probably mention it tonight in the service over at the church, but the truth is we so often we look at God through man and we get disappointed. Whether it's our parents whose marriage breaks up and fails, family members, friends, maybe a pastor was fallen, And it's heartbreaking. And the enemy uses things such as that to get us to doubt the God of heaven. I've heard people say, well, if God is like that, I want nothing to do with him. And I'm here to tell you, God's not like that. He'll not fail you. He'll not leave you. He'll not forsake you. And when all others turn their backs on you, he's faithful and he's true and he loves you. When I was just a toddler, 3 years old, my dad packed up and walked out on us. My mom, my brother, and I never saw his face again. And the truth is, if we're not careful, we'll let disappointments like that cause us to doubt God. The truth is, we're supposed to look at man through God. We're not supposed to look at God through man. We see here in, excuse me, I'm not going to be able to take too much time. It's so good to have my wife here, of course. We've been married for 32 years. We have 8 children and 9 grandchildren, number 10 on the way. Our youngest is Biz. Many of you know Biz. And I got a few stories I was going to tell about her, but maybe I'll do that tomorrow. But the truth is, my wife was telling me the other day that I need to be nice. She says, you know, you have a tendency to, people think you're mean. And I'm not. I'm really not. My daughters, when they worked there back home and preparing for college, their coworkers would often say, your dad looks so mean. And then a couple of them, their coworkers said, is your dad in the mafia? And so I've been trying to work on that. Actually, the other day my wife was out and she called home and she said, so how's things going at the house? And I said, well, the cat died. And she said, see, that's what I'm saying. You don't say things that way. You need to soften the blow. And so she said, you know, when I call and ask how things are going, you say, well, the cat's missing. Okay, and then later you tell me that you found the cat up on the roof. And when you went to get the cat, he fell off the roof. And now he's at the veterinarian and the cat passed away. I thought, okay. I got that. So a couple days later, she calls my wife's mother-in-law, lives with us. My wife's mom, I should say, my mother-in-law. And she called, and my wife said, so how's mom doing? I said, well, mom's on the roof. So I am learning. But Romans chapter number 5, look there with me. Excuse me. It says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I'm telling you, there's nothing. And I wouldn't be so naive to think that even here in a Bible college where the Word of God is taught, and many of you have heard the Word of God since you've been children, whether it be in Sunday school or you're saved off the bus route, to think that there's not somebody here that's struggling with their salvation. Somebody here that's struggling with the security, knowing that they are a born-again child of God, justified by faith, justified just as if I had never sinned. You understand? That's how God sees you. I believe if God would speak audibly with you today, he would tell you how proud he is of you. How thrilled he is with the work that's taking place in your life. You understand that the relationship that God has with you is not based upon who you pretend to be. It's not, God doesn't love you because of the you pretend to be on Facebook. You know, it's humorous to see the Facebook post of people that I deal with, because if you looked at their Facebook post, I mean, just 2 days before, they were husband and wife were there and ready to kill each other and in my office, and now they're singing each other's praises on Facebook for everybody to see and think well of them. But the truth is, God loves you and he knows exactly what you are. God knows your shortcomings. God knows how you've failed and stumbled and fallen. But yet, you're everything to him. We see, as he states here, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of glory. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations. You see, when we understand the security and the stability we have in him, we realize he knows what's best for us. God desires to do a great work in your life. You understand, it matters to him who you are before it matters to him what you do. The scripture teaches us, and we see here, that he talks about glory in tribulations. Now, the fact is, I don't glory. I don't get excited about adversity. I don't get excited about trouble and difficulty. Whether you're here today and maybe you're having a hard time keeping up financially or academically, and you're facing some struggles, or you're facing some physical adversity. I understand Elizabeth was telling me about a good friend of hers who was sick and fell, and she got hurt, and I'll tell you, my heart just went out to her. And we face these struggles and these difficulties, and sometimes we wonder why. But you see, he says here that we can glory and understand. We don't glory in the adversity. We don't glory in the trouble, but we glory in what God is going to do through it. You see, as I look back on my life and some of the most precious times of my life, of our marriage, have been some of the most difficult times, the hard times. It's through that tribulation, he says, what? Tribulation worketh patience. Enduring. Listen, when the trouble comes, don't run. When it gets tough, don't pack your bags and head off. You're going to miss out on the experience. He says the tribulation worketh patience. And if you stay and you keep going and you don't give in, he says, that worketh experience. It's one thing to hear about other people's experiences. Preachers come in, and college professors and your pastors, and of course Pastor Wilkerson, and they'll share personal experience. I remember hearing my pastor talk about personal experience, and boy, it stirred my heart. But the truth is, I wanted to experience it myself. I heard my pastor talk about God answering prayer, and I thought, wow, God does answer prayer. But the truth is, I needed to experience it myself. I needed God to answer my prayers. I needed God to step in and do a work for me. I remember there was some times where early in the ministry, when I started as a youth pastor, they voted and started me $100 a week. That was my paycheck, full-time youth pastor. And I was excited. And the truth is, boy, we had some lean times. But we look back on those days, living in our little apartment, and we saw God do some things. Oh, we faced some tribulation. Some times when, I remember going to the refrigerator and we had nothing to eat. And often, it's in those times people quit. It's in those times people walk away. And let me say, I've seen far, far, far too many young people. I'm talking about young people that have sat in Bible college pews and have attended the Bible college classes just like you are. That when the going got tough, they walked away. And I just have to believe in my heart, they couldn't have understood how much God loved them. Because if you understand how much God loves you and how much you mean to Him and how everything going on in your life matters to Him, you could never, ever, ever walk away from Him. Oh, times get tough. But you know what I found? Times get tough for lost people too. But because, as we see here in Romans chapter number 5, he said, tribulation worketh patience, patience experience. And I saw, I saw God answer our prayers. I saw God, a knock came on our door. And I'll make a long story short here, but a knock came on our door and delivered to us. We didn't tell anybody. Bags of groceries. We had so much food in our house. We packed the refrigerator, packed the freezer full. The freezer was full. And after we had gotten everything unpacked, another knock came on our door, and I went. There was somebody else, another person standing there with two bags of groceries. And I said, well, come on in. We began to unpack things, we had no place to put it. So I said, well, you know what? We're going to have to eat some of the food so we have room in the freezer for the food you brought. Man, that was fun. I went from not having enough food to eat to having more food than we had room for. Hey, that's when what? Tribulation worketh patience, patience experience, and experience worketh what? Hope. Now, and I've seen God do this over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. And I don't always know what God is going to do, but I know this, He's going to do something. I know this, He's going to take care of me. Why? Because God has a proven track record. God loves me. God loves you. We see, as we look here, he says there, as we just continue reading on here, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Thank you, brother. And by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. I find in counseling a number of times people have shared, so often, we don't doubt the love of God, but sometimes we struggle with the love of God toward us. You might think and say, well, you know, I could see where God would love somebody like so-and-so, or God would love somebody like so-and-so, but me, Pastor. There's a boy, college boy, and his spiritual mentor was in the hospital, quite ill. He wasn't expected to make it. And the boy went to visit his college or his spiritual mentor, and there he asked him a question. He said, "Can you tell me, in all of your years of Bible study, in all of your years of preaching, what is the greatest single truth you ever found in all the Bible?" And without hesitation, that old man, and with one of his last breaths, said, "Jesus loves me." The thought that God loves me. On Amazon's site, there's 2,652 books about heaven. There's 18,818 books about God. There's 10,034 books about money. 16,700 books about sex. But 30,000, over double, 32,000 books about love. We have a need to be loved. And when we don't understand, and I've seen many a young lady and many a young man running out into this world, chasing their need, their desire, just to be cared for, just looking for somebody that would love them and care for them just like they are. It was in the 13th century. See, I have it jotted down here. I want to make sure I get the name right. Emperor Frederick, in the 13th century, he conducted an experiment. He took three infants, and the three infants were taken, separated from their parents and from their families. And these infants were cared for by a few hired nurses. These nurses were to only feed them and clean them. They were not to speak kind words to them. These infants were to hear no words. They were not to hold them and caress them. They weren't to smile at them. No love was to be given to these children. Now, the purpose of the experiment was the emperor wanted to find out what would their natural language be if they were influenced in no way by any other words, but unknowing, because of the absence of love, because of the absence of care, because of the lack of touch, all three of those infants died. We have a much greater need to be loved than we can imagine. And that is why the devil, 2 Corinthians, teaches us. Now here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I believe it's verse 4, he talks about how the enemy hath blinded the minds of the lost so they don't see the glorious light of the gospel. The Bible teaches us that we're not to be ignorant of Satan's devices. And I believe one of his tactics is he wants to blind us, cause us not to be able to see personally. You see, it doesn't matter if you believe in the concept of the love of God. What matters is, do you believe you're loved by God? Do you believe you're special to God? Do you believe that you're everything to Him? because he is going to do everything he can to blind you spiritually to seeing the love of God personally. The amazing, everlasting, life-changing love that God has for you, because the love is powerful. Love changes lives. See, what you and I have as born-again Christians is different than all the other religions of the world. You see, our God stepped in and paid the price for our sin. Our God took our sin upon us, or our sin upon himself, and then gave us his righteousness. The religions of the world, and I've traveled a bit. I've been in Hindu temples and Buddhist temples, and I've seen the angry gods of these false religions. I've seen people buying their incense. I've seen them visiting the little store to purchase gifts, to be able to come and put at the feet of the altar that they were going to pray to, trying to appease their angry God. That's not my God. My relationship with my God is founded and based upon his unending love for me. And even in my worst day, he still loves me, and he loves you. You see, obedience is born out of the heart of love. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. You see, obedience to our God is born out of the love of our heart. I, as a young husband, as I mentioned, my dad walked out when I was 3 years old, and I never saw what a normal marriage was supposed to be. I never saw how a husband was supposed to treat his wife, And so I didn't mistreat my wife in abuse and so on, but I didn't know how to love her. I didn't know how to put her first. It was early in our marriage. I'd tell you a few stories, but they're far too embarrassing, and that I could have been so foolish. But it wasn't until I realized that I needed to learn how to love her that it became the natural thing to put her first. The truth is, I thoroughly enjoy putting her first. I thoroughly enjoy putting my family first. Why? Because I love them. Love. Obedience is a natural thing when there's a heart of love. Not only is obedience born out of love, but victory is empowered by love. It's shocking today how powerless our Christianity is. I deal with folks that are struggling, and I'm sure there's folks right here struggling getting victory in your spiritual life. Struggling getting victory over sin, sins of the heart and sins of the mind. But victory is empowered. The Bible says that the love of Christ constraineth us. Religion has tried to hang people over hell. And I grew up in religion like that. If you don't cross all the spiritual T's and dot all your spiritual I's just right, you're going to go to hell. But when I found out that in Jesus Christ, I'm free, when I came to realize how much God loves me and his commitment, you see, love is God, the level of God's commitment to you. And the Bible says we love him. Why? Because he first loved us. So wouldn't it make sense for the devil, the enemy, to blind us to how much God loves us? Because if you don't understand how much God loves you, how are you going to love him back? If I love him because he first loved me, if I don't understand that love, or that love is distorted in my own mind, then I'm not going to be able to love God back. And the truth is, you will struggle loving others the rest of your life. You'll struggle loving a spouse one day. You'll struggle loving your children one day. Why? Because you have a perverted sense of what love is. I want to challenge you to get in your Bible and study what God says his love is toward you. I have people come and tell me all the time what they think God's, well, God feels this way and God's thinking this way. And oh no, he says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. And your ways are not my ways. God does not love like man. Because I believe the spiritual cornerstone of your life is God's love for you and his commitment to you. God loves you, young people. You're his world. When the Bible says, for God so loved the what? You know, I think we lose something there. Because we think, well, God just loves everybody, Pastor. You know, he's got to. Oh, no. When I read that, I look at it this way. That I am God's world. You are my wife. 32 years we dated. I should have stood up. We dated for 5 years. And I could have got that Chipotle card. And or whatever one you gave. And but we dated for 5 years before we got married. And now I've been married for 32 years. She is my world. She's my world. As I said, we have 8 children. They're my world. Got a few daughter-in-laws now. They're my world. Got a couple son-in-laws. I'm working on that one. 9 grandbabies. Number 10 on the way. They're my world. You see, Dean Noonan's love capacity is limited. But that group right there and a few others, they're my world. Now I think you can understand, and the truth is probably, I know some of the folks who have been married for years and have poured their hearts into their spouses can understand what I'm saying. When I talk about your spouse being your world. Until you've done that, you'll have a hard time. The truth is, I love my wife today in a way that I did not even understand was, could be. I didn't think I had that capability. I didn't know there was that kind of love. Well, our great God has the capability loving each and every one of us personally, multitudes beyond that. And when I say today, you are God's world, I'm saying today, you, by name, not collectively as a student body, not collectively as all believers. You, as an individual, are everything to him. Makes you pretty special. And when that old stinking devil comes along and tries to beat you down and tries to get you to think, I have to stop with this, but in my counseling I find so often that folks, because of things that have happened in their lives, will hear things such as this. Well, Pastor, if God loves me so much, why did he let that happen? If God loves me so much, like I've heard said, and I've sung about, and the girls sang about so beautifully, then why didn't my parents break up? I prayed they wouldn't. Pastor, if God loves me so much and I matter so much to him, then how come? How come my parent died? Or why did he let that happen to me? Why did he let so-and-so hurt me? The old devil loves to take his lies and wrap them around a little bit of truth. And a seed gets planted in our hearts that he will water. And every time disappointment comes, every time tribulation comes, he waters that seed just a little bit. And I've seen far too many in these years shake a fist at God and say, I just can't believe he loves me. Oh, young person, God loves you. You're everything to him. And then serving God, born out of a heart of love, is wonderful. I get to live my life every day loved by him and striving to love him back. That's why I do what I do. God loves you. Father, please, I just hope, I hope it made sense today. Lord, if just the one young person who was struggling would come to sense your arms wrap around them and you love on them, oh God, open our blinded eyes to see how much you care. To see how much we matter to you. Bless each and every one. Thank you for your unconditional, unending love. Have your way now. Jesus' name.